ओम नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरये नष्टप्रयेष्वपादृषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युतमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति
नैष्ठिकी
यं प्राव्रजन्तमनुपेतमपेतकृत्यं द्वैपायना विरहकातराजुहव पुत्रेति तन्मयथयोधरवो विनेदु तं सार्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि। We're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10. Prahlada, the best among exalted devotees. Text 14. Ya etat kirtayen mahyam tvaya gitam idam naraha tvam cha mam cha smaran kale karma bandha pramuchyate ya etat kirtayen mahyam ya etat kirtayen mahyam tvaya gitam idam naraha tvaya gitam idam naraha tvam cha mam cha smaran kale tvam cha mam cha smaran kale karma bandhat pramuchyate karma bandhat pramuchyate ya etat kirtayen mahyam tvaya gitam idam naraha tvam cha mam cha smaran kale karma bandhat pramuchyate ya anyone who etat this activity kirtaye chants mahyam unto me tvaya by you gitam prayers offered idam this naraha human being tvam you cha as well as mam cha me also smaran remembering kale in due course of time karma bandhat from the bondage of material activities pramuchyate becomes free. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. One who always remembers your activities and my activities also and who chants the prayers you have offered becomes free in due course of time from the reactions of material activities. Purport. Here it is stated that anyone who chants and hears about the activities of Prahlada Maharaja and in relationship with Prahlada's activities, the activities of Nrisimhadev, gradually becomes free from all the bondage of fruitive activities. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Yam hina vyathayantete purushan purushar shabha samadukha sukham dhiram somritatvaya kalpate. O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. Dukeshva nudvigma mana sukeshu vigatas priha vitaragavaya krodha sthitadhir muniruchyate. One who is not disturbed in spite of the threefold miseries, who is not elated when there is happiness, and who is free from attachment, fear, and anger, is called sage of steady mind. A devotee should not be aggrieved in the awkward position, nor should he feel extraordinarily happy in material opulence. This is the way of expert management of material life. I repeat it. This is the way of expert management of material life. Because a devotee knows how to manage expertly, he is called Jivan Mukta. As Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ihayasya Harer Dasye Karmanama Nasagira Nikilashva Pyavastasu Jivan Mukta Sauchyate. A person acting in Krishna consciousness, or in other words, in service of Krishna, with his body, mind, intelligence, and words, is a liberated person even within this material world, although he may be engaged in many so-called material activities. Because of constantly engaging in devotional service in any condition of life, a devotee is free from all material bondage. Bhaktih punati mannishta svapakan apisambhavat. Even one is born in a family of meat eaters is purified if he engages in devotional service. Srila Jiva Goswami cites this verse in logically supporting that anyone who chants about the pure life and activities of Prahlada Maharaja is freed from the reactions of material activities. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yaitat kirtayen mahyam tvaya gitam idam naraha tvam cha mam cha smaran kale karma bandhat pramuchyate. One who always remembers your activities and my activities also, and who chants the prayers you have offered, becomes free in due course of time from the reactions of material activities. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pashyatya Deshatarine Panchakalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ajanu Vambitabhujokana Kavadadu Sankirtanayita Pitaro Kamalayataksha Vishvambaro Dvijavaro Yuga Dharma Palu Vandai Jagat Priya Karo Karuna Avatara. Yantah pravishya mama vachim mam prasuktam sanjeevayata kila shakti darasvadhamna anyamsya hasta charana shravana tvagari prananama bhagavate purushaya. Hare Krishna. I will try to speak a few words about this wonderful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam in connection with Kirtan Mela, which is going on in Sridhar Mayapur. before the Gaur Purnima festival. This verse is a usual glorification of the hearing and chanting pastimes of the Lord together with the pastimes of His devotees. And we all know that the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is all about this. Srimad Bhagavatam is about describing the glories of the Lord and the glories of His devotees and their relationship, their loving relationship with each other. And we'll know that Srimad Bhagavatam and again stresses this point that this gives you liberation from material bondage. And moreover, not only liberation, because liberation is just a meager result of hearing and chanting, it can give you love of God. What is very interesting in this particular verse, which distinguishes this verse from many other verses of this nature, describing the potency of hearing and chanting about the Lord, is that specifically it is said here, Kale, means in due course of time. Because very often we hear the statements that immediately it gives you liberation from bondage. But very interesting feature of this particular verse is that it specifically says that you will be liberated, no doubt about it, if you hear about the activities of Prahlad Maharaj and myself. Lord Narasimhadev very humbly says that your activities and also myself, in connection with myself. But he also stresses this interesting point that it will not happen immediately, but it may take some time. And we all know by our own sad experience that it usually takes some time. That usually the result of it is not so immediate as we would like it to be. And Srila Prabhupada actually very beautifully explains why it takes time. Because oftentimes we like to stress this particular point that, you know, I'm already liberated. Ah, why? Because I chanted once Hare Krishna mantra. Okay, not once. 16 rounds, once a day. Or sometimes people say, I vow to chant 16 rounds till the end of my life. You know, I usually say that 16 rounds till the end of my life is not so much. You know, it's kind of, if you spread it, because that's what it means. I vow to chant 16 rounds till the end of my life. So, of course, when the Shastra wants to stress or emphasize the potency of the holy name, the Shastra will say, yes, immediately. But here, the different stress is given that Shastra wants to say that it usually takes time. And again, as I said, Srila Prabhupada very beautifully explains this in a purport when he quotes these verses from Bhagavad Gita. Where Krishna explains what is the precondition or what is the condition, what is the mental state of a person who is freed from the reactions of his sinful life. Because oftentimes, unfortunately, we being faulty human beings with all the frailties of human beings tend to take the statements of Shastra something like Christians take vicarious salvation. I'm already saved. Why? Because Jesus was crucified. I don't have to do anything else. He already did whatever I am supposed to do. All my sinful reactions is already gone, no problem, you know, because he suffered, you know, very convenient sort of philosophy. And the same sort of mentality sometimes comes to our mind because we take it for granted that we don't have to do much. It's just, you know, if we mumble something every morning religiously, then by the you know, strength of this, we will be liberated. But no, specifically it is said here, kalena. And kalena basically means that certain processes have to take place in your mind, which is not an easy thing. Ultimately, what Nrisimhadev is saying here is that, as Srila Prabhupada explains, is that you have to change your consciousness or your reactions to the material life and material circumstances you are living in. That's exactly what Srila Prabhupada explains when he says that liberation means that you are not reacting as you are programmed to react. And we're all programmed to react. We all like happiness. Is there anyone who doesn't like happiness by any chance? I like, you know. Definitely, very much. Does anyone who just, you know, happiness and distress, it's a nice philosophy, isn't it? You know, we should take happiness and distress in the same way. A very nice philosophy, definitely. Prabhupada calls it expert management of our material life. There is no doubt about it. If we develop this, but there is a big if in the beginning of this statement. If we develop this thing, then we are liberated. And moreover, he cites the second verse from Bhagavad Gita, from the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is even more emphatic about this. In the first verse, he says, Sama Dukha Sukhesh. One is equal in happiness and distress. In the second verse, he says, Dukhesh Anudvigman Manaha. When you are not moved during the suffering. And Prahlad Maharaj actually is the best and most beautiful and most vivid example of somebody who is liberated because his reactions are not programmed. What I want to say is that what is karma bondage? Bondage of karma. Karma bandhana. Karma bandhana is the programmed reactions in our mind. And unless we change these reactions, unless we drastically change these reactions by the means of hearing, by the dint of hearing and chanting, unless we change it, we cannot claim that I'm free and saved and my salvation is guaranteed. If our reaction is the same good old or, how you say, bad old reactions, if I'm very elated, if something really happened, it is great problem. Om Mataji. You know? Or if I'm really put down by certain circumstances or even slightest provocations from material nature, it basically means that there is something wrong in my practice of Krishna consciousness. In other words, that I'm not really chanting and hearing offenselessly, and therefore the promised effects of Shravanam and Kirtanam do not take place. That's the only explanation. Srila Prabhupada was very emphatic about this, and he actually said many times that, you know, yes, salvation is guaranteed. And sometimes we like to remember the Ajamil story. Nice story, isn't it? You know, very nice story. You can just live long life and do the sinful activities, and then at the end of life, at the very end of life, just you happen to call your son Narayan. And you can name many of your sons. You know, Govinda, Mukunda, so many. You know, but it's not, because there is some conditions and we really have to work, and there is a very beautiful story from Srila Prabhupada's life about this. One of first Prabhupada's disciples was doing a lot of service, and he was actually the main and the first editor-in-chief of Srila Prabhupada's Back to Godhead magazine when he came to America. And then at the end of 60s, he kind of drifted away and became very much entangled in material life again. and in sense gratification. And then in the middle of 70s, he again wrote to Srila Prabhupada. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, I want to join back Krishna consciousness, but on one condition. I am ready to resume my editing service to your Back to Godhead magazine, all nice and everything is fine. There is only one condition. I can't promise to you that I will follow this no illicit sex outdated rule. Well, he didn't say outdated, but basically that's what he meant. You know, I can't promise this. In other words, I will do it. I will be engaged in... Srila Prabhupada read it and didn't say anything. So Trivikram Maharaj at that time was in the room of Srila Prabhupada and he was doing his massage and he asked, because he knew this devotee, and he asked, oh, Srila Prabhupada, how he is doing? Meaning, how is this devotee doing? And, you know, Prabhupada looked at him and with great force intently said to him, he is going to hell. He is going to hell. That was Prabhupada's statement. Shocking, isn't it? Doesn't match with Sajjamila's story, right? Because specifically Yamaraj said, don't bring to me somebody who was editor-in-chief of Back to Godhead magazine. Doesn't really match in one sense. But again, Prabhupada wants to make a point. If you are offensive and if you're willingly committing the sins on the strength of the holy name, it basically means that you are offensive. And the story of Ajamil doesn't apply to you. It's not your case, my dear sir, unfortunately. So don't try to hide behind this story. It's not the case. Our case should be conscientiously and strictly following the rules of scriptures and try to cultivate the holy name. Of course, immediately I can already hear the objection to this statement, because Krishna himself says, apichet sudaracharo bhajate mama nanyava sadureva samantaya samyak yavasito hisa. Isn't it another nice verse from the scriptures? Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mama nanyava. He's sadhu. Sadureva samantaya. He has to be considered sadhu. Srila Jiva Goswami in his Bhakti Sandarbha gives a very beautiful and profound explanation to this statement of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. He says, when Krishna says, apichet sudaracharo bhajate mama nanyava, he means somebody who has conventional face. He says, this person does not really have proper face. Proper face means Shastriya Shraddha, and Shastriya Shraddha means Shastra Artha Vishwas, complete trust in the statements of Shastra. And he says, how come if you have the complete trust in the statements of Shastra, you still apichet sudaracharo, you still commit all kinds of sinful activities? There is no way, there is no chance of it. If you properly understand the meaning of Shastra, Shastra Artha, then there is no chance for you to commit sinful activities. Of course, Krishna, after that, says, Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma. Very soon he will become righteous. Why? Because this is the starting point. But still, he says, very specifically, Srila Jiva Goswami says, his face is not properly situated. It's conventional face. It's Samajik Shraddha. It's not Paramarthik Shraddha. It's not the transcendental Shraddha. It's just Shraddha which we get in the society. You know, somebody is doing something and I'm doing something and I'm really, really stubborn devotee. I don't say fixed up devotee, but I'm stubborn. I just want to stick to it. It's good. There is no doubt about it. Therefore, Krishna says in the next verse, Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma, very soon he will become righteous. But the point is that there should be an evolutionary process. You cannot just be satisfied with this beginning stages and pacify yourself that I am already saved. Therefore, specifically, very clearly, Nrisimha Dev says, Kalena, after some time he will become free from bondage, provided he is doing it properly. Because if he is not applying endeavors to do it properly, then this purification will not take place. Lord Hari will not take your anarthas. He's Hari. He can take all your anarthas if you just once chant Hare, not even need for Krishna, just Hare is enough. But if you really hold this anarthas, if you stick to this anarthas, Hari will say, what can I do? He doesn't want to be free from his anarthas. He wants to continue this offensive sort of attitude. Therefore, this kalena basically means that while doing this, we have to also be conscientious what has to take place in our heart. There is another very important and meaningful statement from the sixth canto, from the story of Ajamil, where Yamaraj, while explaining this, the purport of this story, he says very interesting thing. We all know this element of this story, very important element of this story, is that the holy name is much more powerful than any other means of purification. It's much more powerful than any vratas or any atonements, which are prescribed in 20 Dharma Shastras. In the purport of this verse, which I'm referring to, Srila Prabhupada says it's 11th verse from the second chapter of the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the purport of this verse, Srila Prabhupada says that, yes, there is 20 Dharma Shastras, and all Dharma Shastras, one after another, they prescribe different ways of purification, how to be purified, what to do to purify yourself from the sinful reactions. But this specific verse, 11th verse, it said that all these vratas are not effective. They're not really doing the good job, whereas Harir Nama Padair Udahritais. Harir Nama Padair, just the syllables of the holy name. Udahritais. What they do, they're much more effective than all these vratas. Why? Because Tadutama Shloka Guno Palambakam. Guna Upalambakam. Why the syllables of the holy name are so powerful? Even if it's syllables, specifically Srila Prabhupada and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, while commenting on this verse, they say that even if you not so attentively chant the holy name, that's why it is said padai. Padai means padas, means syllables of the holy name. So even if you are not so attentive in chanting the holy name, still yatha hari nama padar udahritais, it means that the holy name is more powerful than any other vratas, which are there mentioned by Manu and Parasharamuni and so many other authors of Dharma Shastras. Why? Because it is said here, tadutama shloka guno palambakam. Because the syllables of a holy name, listen, and this is very important, and this is exactly how Srila Prabhupada explained this verse in one of his lectures. Very important statement he makes. He says the syllables of this, of the holy name, are very purifying and so powerful because they remind you about the qualities of the Lord. Guna upalambakam. Because they have the imprint of the qualities of the Lord. And Prabhupada, while explaining this particular verse, tadutama shloka guna palambakam, he gave a beautiful lecture on this verse somewhere in India here. And he says that Al-Jamil, what was the saving grace of Al-Jamil? Why Al-Jamil was usually, we hear that because he just chanted the name of Narayan. But Prabhupada explains in an amazing way in this lecture that why this chanting of Narayan was so effective. Of course, we know it was Namabas and so on and so forth. But Prabhupada said, because also he had a background. He was a brahmachari in Gurukul. And he was very nice brahmachari in Gurukul. And he was studying under his spiritual master. And he was learning about Krishna and Bhagavad Gita and Krishna's activities. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada specifically says in this lecture, while he was chanting the name of Narayana, the qualities of the Supreme Lord would come and would flash in his mind. He would remember about Mother Yashoda and the relationship of Mother Yashoda with Krishna. That's what Srila Prabhupada says. He would remember about Arjuna and Krishna, how Krishna was preaching to Arjuna and how Arjuna was receiving his instructions and how he was freed from all this maya which he was put in, and so on and so forth. Prabhupada specifically says that just because he was not only chanting Narayan, Narayan in a mechanical way, he was also remembering about the Lord. And Prabhupada, after that, saying this, he says, just try to understand this. In other words, it's not so easy to understand this thing. Because again, the tendency is that we want to conveniently chant in a very mechanical way, without understanding who is Krishna, why we are calling for Krishna. And, you know, and why this whole process? This is a science. Srila Prabhupada very often would make this point that Krishna consciousness is science, it's not religion. In other words, science means that we're consciously doing what we're doing, and we should understand what should take place while we're doing this. Not just rely on the strength of ritual itself. Religion means we have rituals, we're doing everything properly. I'm fine, Prabhu. I'm chanting 16 rounds. Get lost. You know. This is our speech towards Yamaraj. You have nothing to do with me, but no. You know, science means we have to know the science. We have to know the laws which do this. And we have to understand why we're doing, how we're doing. And therefore, Lord Nrisimhadev, in this particular verse, he specifically says that, you know, after some time, while remembering about your pastimes by changing your prayers. And prayers means consciously, again, not mechanically. Changing prayers means in a prayerful mood. If I'm just chanting it as a brahmanas, chanting all these Vedic mantras without, you know, it's a nice music, nice sound to hear, but no meaning is involved, then there is no point actually in these activities. Definitely there is point. There is a good result of, there is no, you know, definitely there is no loss and no diminution in this path. But still, you know, the point and the stress of this is different. And Prabhupada says in the same lecture, another amazing thing, which actually I wanted to share with you, because this is an extremely important statement. Prabhupada, immediately after saying this, just try to understand this. That we have to really understand who is Krishna, why we are calling him. Prabhupada immediately after that says that offenseless chanting means that the form of the Lord, that you remember the form of the Lord. And again, Isn't it amazing statement what Prabhupada says? That he basically explains what does it mean or by which criteria you can understand that you're chanting offenselessly. If the form of the Lord is not coming automatically in your mind, and by saying remembering, he doesn't mean, definitely doesn't mean, that you have to really artificially try to kind of, you know, no. He basically means, if your mind is pure enough, then by chanting, that automatically the form of the Lord will be reflected in your mind. That's the Siddhanta, that's the meaning of the scriptural statements when they say that by the sound, by Shravanam and Kirtanam of the Holy Name, we purify our mind, and when the mind is purified sufficiently, when anartha nivritti really takes place, when all the anarthas are gone, then the form of the Lord is reflected in this antahkaranam. That's a very important statement that Srila Prabhupada, this statement is repeatedly made by different acharyas, and Srila Prabhupada again repeats this in this beautiful lecture on this verse from the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where he says that you know, offenseless chanting means form of the Lord is there in your mind. And Srila Jiva Goswami, I wanted to share with you this statement where he very beautifully explains this gradual process of purification which should take place. If you do it offenselessly, if you're really applying consciousness to get rid of the offenses and not doing it in a mechanical way. 1 second. this is the 256 Anucheda of Bhaktisandarbha by Srila Jiva Goswami. Very interestingly, he basically says the same thing which Srila Prabhupada said. Here it is. Pratamam namnah shravanam antahkarana shuddhyartam apekshya. He says, first thing which you need to do, apekshyam, necessary to do, pratamam, the first thing, namnah shravanam antahkarana shuddhyartam. First you have to apply nam, the holy name of the Lord, shuddhyartam, so that your antahkarana, your heart, your internal organ, your consciousness, your conditioned consciousness, would be shuddhyartam, would be purified. Then he says, what happens when the antahkarana or the heart of a living being is sufficiently purified? Shuddhe cha antahkarane rupa shravanena tat udaya yogyata bhavati. He says, and that's exactly why I said that this is not just artificial attempts, forcefully, trying to forcefully, you know, meditate on the form of the Lord. Because Srila Jiva Goswami says, shuddhe antahkarane rupa shravanena tat udaya yogyata bhavati. When your mind is sufficiently purified, then you become yogya. You become qualified to hear about the form. And then when you hear about the form, then the next process will take place. Rupa Shravanena Tad Udaya Yogyata. Tad Udaya Yogyata means the qualification appears or manifests in your mind to hear about the form, and the hearing will bring the form into you. And the mistake, very severe mistake, which usually many devotees do, they think again that, you know, Shravanam is an artificial process. Shravanam is not an artificial process. Shravanam is the real contact of the mind with the Lord in the form of His name, and which is possible only if the mind is not offensive. And therefore, next statement which Srila Jiva Goswami says, samyak udite, when the form becomes samyak, complete, when your mind becomes eligible to completely have the form, upalabdhi. Upalabdhi means the mind has the ability to completely keep, contain the form within itself. So, samyak udite cha rupi gunanam spuranam, sorry, spuranam sampadyate. Then you will start having this gunanam spuranam. You will start remembering about the qualities of the Lord, the spurti, the flashes of the gunas of the Lord will come to your mind. And as Prabhupada explains in this lecture which I refer to, he says that, you know, you chant the holy name and at the same time you remember the qualities of the Lord, how nice he is, how kind he is, how he gives complete protection to everyone. Due to, again, purification of the heart. If the purification of the heart really takes place, then it will be in a very spontaneous and natural way will take place in your mind. And then after that, he says, tatas teshu nama rupa guneshu tat parikareshu. He says, when you finished with this, when you are successfully over this stage of your spiritual development. And again, the very point here in this section of Bhakti Sandarbha is that the spiritual development is gradual. It takes time. And you have to understand what has to take place in your heart while you're chanting and doing this. Then he says, tatas, after that, teshu nama rupa guneshu, after nama rupa guneshu, after these three things are established within your heart very firmly, nam, rup, and gun of the Lord, of Bhagavan, tat parikareshu cha samyak spuriteshu eva lilanam spuranam shishtu bhavat abhipreta sadhana krama likhita. Again, as I said, Srila Jiva Goswami writes this to stress this point that sadhana is a gradual process. Sadhana krama. There is a certain sequences or certain you know, it's a certain process which has to take place. And then he says, when these three first things, nama, rupa, and guna are established, then you will see the parikaras, the eternal associates of the Lord, and then only lila smaranam. Whereas very often devotees, they, you know, they listen about this and then they go to Radha Kunda to do lila smaranam. One disciple asked Prabhupada, can I live in Radha Kunda? Prabhupada said, no. He said, why? Because there is a lot of monkeys there anyway. There is no lack of monkeys there. You know, what is the use? You just yet another monkey is living. There is no love. There is no point of it. There is no benefit of it. Because again, yogyata, the qualification is there. The adhikar should be there. And the adhikar is through nam kirtan. If you do nam kirtan, if you do nam smaran, if you do nam shravan, if you listen the holy name, if you chant the holy name properly with the proper attitude, and if you remember the holy name ultimately, then this yogyata, this qualification will come to your heart in a very natural and spontaneous way, and you will go through this path, and anartha nivritti will take place. But how it will take place, again, only if we're willing, only if we understand. If we have this very sinful mentality, that I will chant my holy name and at the same time somewhere, you know, under the table, I will commit my sinful activities, little sinful activities, not so gross, just little. It means that there is no proper understanding of who is Krishna and what we are doing, why we want to him. Why we want to come to Him? There is no proper understanding of the whole process of devotional service, which starts with Shravanam and Kirtanam, but which will only continue with Shravanam and Kirtanam. And Shravanam and Kirtanam will bring its promised results only if we do it properly and offenselessly. And saying this, I will finish my class. Thank you very much. Yes, there is no time for questions. I don't. Maybe one. I'll repeat your question, please. Tell loud enough that I can.
Maharaj, thank you for the lecture. My friend told me that you have done a lot of scientific research on holy name. Therefore, a lot of stuff was technically very high, and I have some small doubts about it. You mentioned the Bhagavad Gita verse, Sukheshwar Udhuna Mana Sukheshwar Vinaspira. So, Maharaj, does that apply only to the material happiness and sadness? Or, for example, when we receive a garland from a sannyasi, you feel elated. Today, I did a very good japa, so I'm elated. I should not concentrate on my japa, I'm very sad. So, should
the question is this verse from Bhagavad Gita? Dukheshvan udvigma manaha, sukhesh vigata spriha. I don't want sukha, the happiness, and I'm not disturbed by the sadness is coming, dukkha is coming. Specifically, it is said here sukha and dukkha, and sukha and dukkha and material duality. When we speak about spiritual happiness, it's called ananda, and there is no opposite to ananda. Of course, there is nirananda, but it's not exactly the, some essential thing. It's nirananda, it's just the lack or absence of ananda. So, but when we speak sukha and dukkha means material happiness and material distress. And we have to really develop proper attitudes towards sukha and dukkha if we want to be liberated. Because again, our karma means the certain program, programmed reaction on sukha and dukkha, material circumstances. And if we are not really indifferent to material circumstances, it means that we don't really, have so much faith in God. The faith is not so strong because, again, the beginning qualification of devotion is the example of Prahlad Maharaj. And his reaction to materials, I think he didn't like when he was thrown in the fire, but it's not that he was really happy that I'm being thrown in the fire, but at the same time, he was not disturbed. He was not so much disturbed because for him, his faith in Nrisimhadev, in Lord Krishna actually, was much stronger than all this happiness and distress. It was just very insignificant.
Maharaj, you mentioned programmed reactions in this particular case, that we have programmed reactions.
Yes.
So, Maharaj, is that happening because of the three modes of nature, or is that our faulty desire, and how to stop reacting programmed reactions?
It is programmed because it's the program of our karma. We experience some happiness which we liked, and it's very strongly recorded in our mind, in our citta, that this is good. Pizza is good. If you're born in Italy, you probably have very strong pizza samskaras. Or if you're born in Mayapur, maybe as well. Very powerful pizza samskaras. Or some things which you experienced and you didn't like, and again you recorded it with great shakti, with great power in your mind, and then you carry this program in your next life. And unless you understand, this is all futile. Then actually, this sukha and dukkha of this life doesn't have so much meaning. This meaning is illusory. We only, you know, it's only our perception. Only within our mind we think that this is so great. It's not so great. Pizza is great, but not so great. You know, if we really analytically apply our power of discrimination, we understand that ultimately sabzi is also okay. It's not a problem. Or chapati is also not bad. So if we just develop this through the understanding of Shastra and, you know, analyzing of it, it's actually very interesting because, again, in Bhaktisandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami gives a very beautiful definition of smaranam. He says, smaranam means anusandhanam. Manasa anusandhanam. And literally it means that smaranam means, anusandhanam means very minute investigation of your mind. Or minutely applying the mind. And basically it means also that this minute investigation or minute application of the mind should be there when we study shastras. Then it means smaranam. Otherwise, it's not smaranam. If you just very superficially kind of browse through the statements, smaranam is a certain ability and a certain quality which comes. This is again manasa anusandhanam, minute investigation with the mind. So reflection or all these kind of things. Anyway, thank you very much. I'm too late. Thank you.
Absolutely first class. Substance, humor, reflection, challenge. Fantastic.
In your mouth, it's very meaningful.
I don't squander praise lightly. I want to tell you a quick story. We used to go across from the U.S. to Canada with Prabhupada's books. They stopped us one time at customs, and they said, no, you have to pay tax on this. We said, they're religious. They said, religious books, no tax. They said, we'll send it to Ottawa to the capital and analyze. 6 months later, we got a letter back. Said, these books are not religious, they're scientific. And Govardhan read the letter to Prabhupada. He loved it.
Fantastic.
So thank you, Maharaj. Nice class.
What is the verse number you are referring to, Srila Prabhupada lecture?
6 to 11.
6 to 11, chapter 6.
Okay, 6 to 11. Maharaj, I have one question on the Sudra Janma, which is Sudra. Basically, we are from ISKCON. We're not conventional faith. We have Shastric oriented faith only. But even the Shastric oriented faith, big struggle to get out of Nagas. So sometimes I'm afraid when I think of Sri Madhvacharya, he says, Sabhava Durvikrama. This is contamination which we had is not through Vishayas or through Gunas, is intrinsic to soul only. So, however hard we struggle, even based on Shastras also, we are not able to get out because we don't have a real desire.
See, and that's where our philosophy differs from Madhvacharya's philosophy, because it says that Guna Vishaya is ultimately superficial and it can be purged out from our consciousness by Sadhu Sangha and Shravanam and Kirtanam. So that's the difference. But some intensity should be applied in this process, not just mechanical.
And secondly, we have this concept of Nitya Siddha and Nitya Mukta and Nitya Bhakta. So that means only a few souls have come down, which means should be intrinsic only.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's not simplistic. It's doable, but it's not simplistic.
Krishna Maharaj, Sri Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much. Maharaj, I wish to ask one question. Maharaj, can I ask?
Yes, soup, but be quick because I have to be somewhere.
Maharaj, I want to ask that not everyone is on the higher platform. And if we get to know, and almost most of the people there are committing sins. So if we have to listen to their lectures, or if we consider example of places where the person, people are practicing their sadhakas and they are not so much elevated and they have to stop committing sins. So when we hear from such speakers, the and we have heard that the consciousness is affected by whom you listen to them to. So how to deal with such a situation?
Same. One thing is that Prabhupada established Bhagavatam class and he didn't make very high bar on somebody who gives the lectures. But you are right, and we have to be conscious about this, and therefore we, even if sometimes a speaker is not of the highest platform, we have to neutralize the effects of hearing him by hearing somebody from pure source. Because at the same time, Prabhupada many times stress that you need to hear from the pure source. So, because it's a custom in our tradition that we come to the lecture, we should come to the lecture, we shouldn't make it as an our attitude, you're sinful, I will not come to your lectures. But at the same time, we have to sufficiently hear from pure sources. Okay?
I'm Sadananda Nityananda. Maharaj, sometimes my mind disturbing thousand of demons coming.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Sometimes my mind, thousand demons coming to my mind.
Yeah, you're not alone. Everyone is in this. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Sivananda. Спасибо.
Приезжайте, люди.
Okay. Yeah, just quickly because I have to go.
If Anashikar Thakur comments in the text of Ayamir, second chapter, I think 9 and 10, that from the first time Ayamir chanted the holy name, all his sins were removed. And that all the reactions that came after were like they were like
that's true.
Bites of a snake.
That's true. That's true.
My question is, who falls in the category of Ayamir? Because it seemed with him it wasn't like a gradual process, at least to become liberated. He had to go to Haridwar afterwards, but he was, you know, free. So, you know, who falls in the category of Ayamir nowadays?
Hardly any, because we are offensive. Uh-huh. Hardly any. We are offensive. We committed so much offenses.
Сегодня вы раскрыли ответы на... Я могу идти. Раскрыли ответы на мои вопросы, которые вот касающиеся нашей жизни там, Шани и так далее. И вот у меня тогда возник следующий вопрос. Но если я должна к этому относиться вот так вот непредвзято, да, то есть не слишком обращать внимание на эти страдания, но если это все влияет на мою духовную жизнь, на мое физическое здоровье, на моих детей. Просто вся эта ситуация, которая там находится, она приводит именно к этому. То есть вот эти страдания, они сильно дают такой отпечаток.
Надо стараться исправить. Мы не идиоты, чтобы радоваться страданиям. Нужно пытаться исправить их, насколько это возможно, и пытаться понять. Мне нужно Гопал Кришна Махараджа.